Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, we know that before the return of Christ, there will be massive deception by Satan in an attempt to turn the whole world against God. Talk to us about how Satan might go about accomplishing that deception.
Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul warns that those who do not have the love of the truth are going to be deceived by signs and lying wonders. Yet before this occurs, other steps are taking place to encourage humanity to compromise toward more of a one world religion, if you want to call it that. Now, there's a former Roman Catholic who's now a Protestant by the name of Mike Gendron. And in his newsletter this week, he put out the following. Gospel compromisers and men pleasers, as we approach the day of the Lord's glorious return, Satan must know his days are numbered because he continues to blind the minds of believers from the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. He's also recruited a growing number of Protestant leaders who are compromising the gospel and denying its exclusivity. The father of lies has many willing partners who foolishly remove the essentials of the gospel to make it more inclusive. They do this for the purpose of drawing a larger following, gaining more influence, and to be loved by more people. This men-pleasing gospel makes people feel comfortable in their sin because it overemphasizes God's love while ignoring his holiness and his hatred of sin. Then continuing, this article says, after the Apostle Paul condemned anyone who would preach a distorted gospel, he warned about those who would please men over God in Galatians 1. Yet there are many man-pleasers today. We're alarmed by many so-called Christian podcasters who have Roman Catholics on their shows to promote their heretical books and resources. Tragically, gospel compromisers and men-pleasers are getting very little resistance. Paul admonishes us to repent of such apathy with a strong rebuke. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, if someone comes proclaiming another Jesus than the one we've proclaimed, and you receive another spirit than the one you've received, or you accept a different gospel from the one you've accepted, you put up with it. Anyway, Gendron continues with, we must contend earnestly for the one and only gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because so much is at stake. We must have a growing compassion for false converts who've been deceived by false gospels. Then he says, why so few follow the narrow path? Of course, now Jesus said that's what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. He says, the broad way looks more inviting because it's a way that seems right to the man, but in the end thereof is the ways of death, Proverbs 14:12. Jesus pleaded with people to strive to enter God's kingdom and be set free from Satan. He cites Luke chapter 13. Only the truth will set captives free, and only when we abide in God's word will we know the truth. Many gullible people fall prey to false teachers because of their deceptive appearance. As servants of Satan, they, quote, 2 Corinthians 11:15, disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds, end quote. Like anything that's counterfeit, the goal is to fool people. False teachers master deceptive lies with an air of religious authority. They hide their fatal gospel under the thin veneer of truth. But what's inside is really deadly poison. They often hide their blasphemies and heresies with illogical arguments and traditions of men. They have no fear of God, and they twist and distort the word of God to their own destruction, as it says in 2 Peter 3:16.
So the promotion of a false gospel is one way Satan will promote deception. Do you agree that God's love is overemphasized in the proclamation of the true gospel?
Well, no, I do not agree about the gospel compromisers overemphasizing God's love. God's love is infinite, but the compromisers do not understand it, nor do they properly teach it. Yet I do agree with Gendron's overall position that compromisers of the gospel meet little resistance. That's part of why most professing Christians in this world don't understand the true gospel. Now, that said, Mike Gendron's correct. The false ecumenical interfaith gospel is gaining acceptance. You know, as the Apostle Jude wrote, true Christians are to, according to Jude 3, to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked for condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. End quote. Now, true believers believe and teach the true gospel of the kingdom of God, which, by the way, has Jesus as our Savior and our soon coming King to actually run a kingdom and get rid of the world's kingdoms. Now, let me add that one of the earliest false gospels was actually put forth by a guy named Marcion of Sinope in the 2nd century AD. He taught against many books of the New Testament. He taught against the original faith. He taught against the Sabbath. And he also taught against the coming millennial reigning of the kingdom of God on this earth. Yet on those last three points, the bulk of the world's compromised churches agree with this Marcion guy. Now, that said, a while back, Mike Gendron had something else in an earlier newsletter. Mm-hmm. He said that the greatest attacks on the gospel today are the frequent attempts by evangelicals to make it more inclusive to everybody who's ever been baptized. Many are seeking to broaden the narrow road by embracing promoting apostate forms of Christianity. Some undiscerning ones have been seduced by the Pope's aggressive ecumenical agenda to unite all professing Christians under the papacy. Part of the Pope's strategy is to look for soft targets within various churches who will promote Roman Catholics as valid. Tragically, this has been successful. He says, more recently, various evangelical leaders have been pushing a popular book written by Rod Dreyer, who's a major promoter of Roman Catholicism. He's a former Roman Catholic, and he became a member of the Eastern Orthodox faith. His book is called The Benedict Option. He calls people of faith to live like a monk in a collapsing culture, and also to do things that the Bible doesn't teach, like the daily sacrifice of a Eucharistic Christ. Anyway, Gendron continues, like most proponents of ecumenism, Dreyer promotes subjective spiritual experiences over the objective truths of Scripture. He says for evangelical leaders to recommend such a book that applauds heretical people and false traditions is lamentable. And it's terrible because they're not guarding sound doctrine. And this is, people should reject false gospels. So this has confused many people who profess Christ. He also wrote the accommodation of doctrinal error and falsehood will always be dangerous to the life of the church, because we're supposed to be set apart or sanctified by the truth, as Jesus said in John 17:17. He also then quotes 2 Peter 3:17. It says, God's word warns us to, quote, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your steadfastness. The critical issue in the church today is the purity of the gospel. It's the rudder that must guide us through the stormy waters that have been stirred up by every wind of doctrine. Either we seek the approval of God by protecting the purity of the gospel, or we seek the approval of men by applauding those who peddle another gospel. He says there's no other option. Now, I agree, and I think he should, of course, become part of the Church of God. Anyway, to finish up what he wrote, he says, as Christians, we must contend earnestly for the faith and challenge those who embrace a false gospel. We're fighting an age-old war against the powers of darkness, against the truth. The truth of God's word is our only hope in a world spinning out of control. We must endeavor to defend the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, the purity of his gospel, and the sanctity of his church, end quote. Anyway, while I don't agree with various Protestant misunderstandings of the true gospel, it's true that the ecumenical interfaith forces promoted by the Vatican, Eastern Orthodox, and various Protestant leaders are certainly not contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints.
You tie faith in with the true gospel. Is this promotion of a false gospel a fairly new doctrine?
No, not really. The Apostle Paul warned that in his day, people were turning to a false gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 6. Paul writes, and I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you, but into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there's some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, or let's say an apparition, I'll add that, preach another gospel to you, which we've not preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, I'll say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you to what you've received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I now seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, the gospel that was preached by me is not in accordance to man.
So going back to the book, The Benedict Option, for a minute, should we really live like monks in this collapsing society?
No. And as far as living in this collapsing society, the Bible teaches we have the patience of the true saints to endure despite what's happened. So in Mark 13, Jesus warned brothers going to betray brother to death, etc. And we're going to be hated by all for his name's sake. But he who endures the end will be saved. In the book of Revelation, we hear about Revelation 13, various Christians are going to be killed. And Jesus called this the patience and the faith of the saints. And in Revelation 14:12, we're told that here's the patience of the saints. Who are the saints? Those who have the commandments of God, who keep the commandments of God, and have faith of Jesus. The Bible doesn't promote some type of Benedict option. It promotes the kingdom of God, which few who claim Christianity actually understand. Jesus is going to return as King of Kings and eliminate the governance of this world. But there have been all kinds of discussions between the Greco-Roman Catholics and the Protestants to just wash over things and go over things, push ecumenical unity. Now, in the Apostle Paul's time, he warned, this is 2 Thessalonians 2, starting at verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Mm-hmm. Only he who now restrains to do so will do it until he's taken out of the way. So there's a restrainer in place, but that's going to go away. Then the lawless one's going to be revealed, and it's going to be according to the work of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. People are going to, who didn't have the, receive the love of the truth, are going to fall for this. Why? That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So now a lot of people say that this is terrible. You're preaching a satanic message when you say you have to be separate. Well, the Bible is very clear. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What communion has light with darkness? What accord does Christ have with basically Satan, or believers and unbelievers? Verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So real Christians will be separate for those will not sanctify the word of God. Yet the Vatican, many of the Orthodox and Protestant leaders are pushing the opposite agendas. By the way, I will comment that the type of Christian unity that some talk about is not going to happen until Jesus returns, according to Ephesians 4, verse 13. Now, the continuing church of God, which is not Protestant, you know, we teach our history from the apostolic church of Acts 2, and we hold the original biblical doctrines, and we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God.
How can we learn more about the proclamation of the true gospel of the kingdom of God?
Well, we have a free booklet available in many languages, available at ccog.org. It's a free ebook called The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. Yes, called The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. So hopefully people will understand the name. Anyway, that said, you know, many biblical doctrines that early Christians held are not held to by Protestants today, nor the Church of Rome, nor the Eastern Orthodox for that matter. And those who are interested in the truth, have the true love of the truth, they can prove that if they're willing.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.